This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to an event from the 2025 Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival. Curated with the theme of Ahikā, keeping the home fires burning, our festival celebrates the literary spirit of Ōtepoti Dunedin, a UNESCO City of Literature. We would like to extend our thanks to Mana Whenua ki Otago, Me Pukiteraki, the Hone Tuwhare Trust, Otago Access Radio, and all of our generous supporters for helping make these podcasts possible. Ahikā, the Long Burning Fire. Chaired by Kerengawa Cassidy and Nadia Wesley-Smith, writers and guests gathered at Otago Marae to share stories about and around the home fire. Nourish your wairua by listening to acclaimed writers as they, in turn, stoke the long burning fire of Ahikā.
Kia ora tātou katoa. Nau mai hoki mai ki tēnei whare, ki te whare o Tamatea. Welcome everybody back in after a delicious kai. I've heard lots and lots of comments, so before we start, I'm going to shout out to our rikawera, who I can see in the back corner there for an amazing, delicious kai. And as if we have fed our puku, now we're going to nourish our mind. We are going to indulge in the kupu and the matauraka from our esteemed guests. We have our guests up here, and with the structure of this evening, we can't quite fit everybody onto the stage. So we're going to start off with these ones, and then we'll have a break halfway through and switch our speakers over before carrying on with the evening. So each of our speakers this evening will share a piece on Ahikā, what it means to them. This could be a piece of something they've already written, some reflections of their own. I think that's kind of what we're up to. So I want to share a whakatauki that I heard from one of our whanauka recently. He hui ka takata, he kiteka konohi, he hokika mahara, he hekeke roimata, he kuaka kakau. So when people gather, faces are remembered, tears fall, the heart sings, and memories return. And I think for me, reflecting on that, that is, I guess, a part of Ahikā is we're keeping our fires of occupation burning, our home fires going, and that is part of that gathering here, sharing stories, that is what we're doing this evening. I'm going to hand over to my whanauka. Actually, before I'm going to do that, I'm going to introduce myself, which I forgot to do. So kia ora koutou katoa, ko Nāria tōku e kua, no kōnei ahau, and now I'm going to hand over to my whanauka, Kerengawa.
Atutahi ake rā tēnā tātou. E mihi ana ki ngā rangatira, kua tae mai nei ki tēnei o tātou marae. Nau mai ki te pūāhurutanga o tēnei o ngā ahi. Nau mai, poni takatia mai tēnei ahi kōrero, tēnei ahi kupu, tēnei ahi wānanga, tēnei ahi kā enho nei, tēnei kā mihi atu ki a tātou enho noho nei i roto i tēnei o ngā whare i tēnei pō. Kukiri ngā Cassidy tōku ingo, huri tēnei noko nei. He pānga anohoki ki roto o te whāwhā nōta, ki roto anohoki o Taranaki, tēnei mihi atu ana ki a tātou. And yeah, it's my honour to be here with my auntie to share some reflections on Ahikā and what it means for those of us who grew up in, on and around our ahi here at our marae, and to also share our voices, our stories, our kōrero with many, many others, many other tohunga who have arrived to share with us over the next couple of days. So, e mihi ana ki a tātou. The first person we're going to hear from is none other than my auntie, Megan Portiki. Nō tākou, nō kaitahu, a kāti māmoe waitaha me te atiawa. She is currently the Executive Director for Otago Polytechnic, and her PhD was focused on te reo Māori, and specifically here at Otago, the death of te reo Māori here. And that seems quite dramatic, but I'll let her talk about that a bit further. She has also been a massive stalwart for revitalising te reo Māori, revitalising tikaka Māori here for our people at Otago, nō reira. Ho mai te piki paki paki Megan Portigy.
Kia ora tātou, koutou I whakarauika mai te, I te pōnei tēnā tātou. So ahi kā, well I grew up here, born and bred here and grew up here, and when I thought about that kaupapa, I dragged out my, I was quite an avid writer of poetry in my 20s. My teens went to Queen's High School and met some incredible English teachers who introduced me to Sylvia Plath and Aperana Taylor, actually, quite life-changing. And and I started to eat words and just loved the sound of them, and poetry just took over. So I've pulled this one out. It hasn't ever seen the light of day. I wrote this in my 20s, and if we think about Otako, the last native speaker here, Nadia Tupuna died in 1967 and was the last native speaker of our tribe, died in 2011, so we've been on a journey of language revitalisation. So I think at this point in time, when I was in my 20s, actually, I was learning Te Reo Māori. I was lucky enough to be able to go and learn Te Reo Māori and as a second language, and so I was quite obsessed with the loss of language. It's called Five Ways to Silence a Māori. One, with one pallid hand clinging to a dutiful crucifix and the other hand gripping the new word, go forth, purging shame and filth and offering gifts. Blankets warming a well-travelled disease and fading churchyard coughs. Slates, paper, ink and pens. Oh, that we had books. Convert quickly and swiftly, delivering them in their own tongue. Pour the pulsing wine and they will drink. Two. In your bed of bitter green leaves you can sleep and their houses will weep and wail. The ground will feed on full crimson beads of blood. Perfect dewdrops escaping, and they will be left weak and dirty, breasts swollen to feed the bastards. Three, their mother will heave and crumble as the stifled cord rots. Leave them holding the baby of your mother, mother of the free. Wider still and wider have your bounds been set. Go ahead, evict, arrest, advance the great foaming tide of settlement. Clawing at her cloaked body, they will ask your dear mother, why do you take their land? They will tell you. They will tell her that they do not understand, and she will read them their last rites. Four, let your fox glove strangle their dead and creep across 2 acres. Your mute walls will keep the natives transcribing, copying, threading, multiplying, adapting and subtracting, and your panic will cut the ear, scarring their flesh. Tears flushing out these Augean stables. Marsden, Hobson and Vogel will spew from their mouths, burning their throats with a new vial. Our failures, as a rule, are very careless, lead them to a useful and blameless existence. Five, the babbling birds will circle above their severed tongues, and as they bow their head in shame, crown them in thorns, and crown your head in bays. As you speak, lay your asphodel flower on the silent grave. Speak to them in their own language, and the aching words will simply echo, for they will not respond. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Megan, for those provoking words.
That was a lot.
You give us something to really think about, and you can feel, gosh, you can feel the ihi, the wehi in those kupu, and I think a lot for us to reflect on. So kia ora. Our next esteemed speaker this evening, called Aperana Taylor. He was a poet, a playwright, novelist, short story writer, storyteller, actor, painter, and musician. He was awarded the 2024 Prime Minister's Literary Award for Achievement in Poetry, and he travels to schools, tertiary institutions and prisons throughout New Zealand to read his poetry, tell his stories and take creative writing workshops. Aperana Taylor.
I'm well organised. I left my poems back at the hotel, so I might have to wing it a bit. Rī te tonu te āhua o taku whare tīpuna ki te maunga, he ao kai rō, he ao kai waho, he ao ki te pō. Ahi kā roa. Kupe! Kā huri au ki a kupe, kā tito au ki a kupe. Te tangata nāna i hoihoi a te moana nāna i tope tope te whenua. Kupe! I turn to kupe. I sing to kupe, who sailed these seas, who divided the land, who slew te whekea a muturangi. Many are the stories of kupe, te kupe ngā kupe. The net of kupe is whakapapa, binding us in blood to kupe, who first settled Aotearoa. My whenua is buried beneath a ton of asbestos and pui nappies at the Karori dump. There's bulldozers, cigarette butts and sanitary pads all whirling around and mixed in with it and with all the sludge of my afterbirth. My mother is buried in the Karori Cemetery. They'll probably run a motorway through her bones. Where's the respect? Where's the ahikaroa? If I died at birth, the doctors would have taken my fetus, pickled it, and put it in a jar. Excuse me if I piss in your cup of tea. Parihaka. We never knew about Parihaka. It was never taught anywhere, except maybe around the fires of Parihaka itself at night, when stories are told of the soldiers who came with guns to haul us up by the roots like trees from our land. It was never taught or spoken. It was all hushed up, how we listened to Te Whiti, who called, Rire, rire, pai maha, rire. But the only piece the soldiers knew spoke through the barrels of their guns, threatening our women, children. It was never taught or spoken, how we were shackled, led away to the caves, and imprisoned for ploughing our land. I was brought up Ngāti Porou, but I'm about as much Ngāti Ruanui as I am Ngāti Porou. And I was in South Taranaki doing some poetry readings, and I went out to the beach. I got all these feelings coming to me, like they were coming out of the sand and the water and the sea and the river. And I wrote this poem about the place where I was. And I found out after I'd written the poem that it was a traditional village for the Ngāti Ruanui, fishing village. And they were driven out from there and into the bush to starve. So this is all has something to do with ahikaroa, I think. Southwest Taranaki, where the wild wind whips your ears and hauls away at your scarf. Where driftwood lies strewn on black sands like stranded whales. Where rocks bathe like beach seals in pools of dying light. Where night falls 1 minute after midday, shadows reach out from the foot of sentient cliffs. Where red veins bleed down the tear ducts of whakapapa. The creeks charge heedlessly to the ocean, where waves froth and smash themselves on the shore, where the undertow washes you away, speaks the mana of Ohawe. Someone was telling me something. A few years ago, they had the World Cup here, the Rugby World Cup, And there was a drama documentary made about the Haka Kamate. And I played the part of the chief who was chasing Te Rauparaha to catch him and eat his heart. But during the shoot, we were right out there in the bush in the Kaimanawa Ranges, and it was really cold and miserable. They had a break between the scenes, and all us people in the documentary, we were in our Māori costumes, but these just weren't plastic tiki costumes. Someone had really made these authentic, beautiful Māori costumes, and the weapons weren't just sort of like balsa wood weapons. They'd been properly made. And I had held this tefa tefa, man, if you hit someone, they're not going to get up. But we were sitting out there during a break, and I wrote this poem. Deep in the bush, in the light and shadows of leafy vegetation, tōtara kāhikatea, along hidden trails, a break between scenes. We wait in camp as the tipuna of old, our tefa tefa, our taiaha, our mere, poised to attack, dressed in the cloak of tūmātauenga, unseen as one with the deep bush, the silence broken only by the stream. The kōkako calls. Te katonu, huie! Te katonu, huie! As in days gone by, we danced our haka in the mountains. Forgotten unemployment, forgotten breakdowns, prisons, mental homes, lies, injustice. The next scene, lights, action! Thank you for the nails. Thank you for the blankets. Thank you for the rum. Thank you for the tobacco. Thank you for your law. Thank you for your prisons. Thank you for smashing my language. Thank you for changing my family values. All these things I no longer want. Thank you. Ahikāroa. Smiling, calling, like the rising sun. Bright like the dawn. My mokopuna. Ahikāroa. Lights my embers, warms my ashen heart.
Kei te kuranga tira e api, tēnei ka mihi ki a koe i rā kupu. Ka pā mai te kōrero ki au, he pā tīkapu ka eke hia, he pā harake ke kore eke hia. Tēnei mea te whakapapa, ka utonu, ka utonu, ka utonu. Tēnei ka mihi atu ki a koe. Wow, how powerful was that? Just to hear those stories about parihaka. And yes, we haven't been taught properly about parihaka. But now, those stories are on the rise. They're being taught to our tamariki, to our mokopuna, especially here at Otako, for our connections. Me ki ko mātou, he uri o te raupatu. Ko mātou, he hua o era āhuatanga, no reira kamihi atu ki a koe. Homai anō te piki paki paki. Next up, we have the amazing Jeanette Wikaira. She is from Ngāti Pūkenga, Ngāti Tamatera, and Ngāpuhi. She has had an extensive career in universities, libraries, galleries, and cultural heritage as a curator, librarian, and researcher. She's currently the Arts and Culture General Manager at the DCC, at the City Council. Is that old? Is this old? Sorry, this is just what's on the paper. Is she still the co-chair? Is she still the co-chair of the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival? Yes, yes, that's right. She's also just published a book called Books of Mana, also with a bunch of other strong mana wahine. So for that terrible introduction, I'm sorry. But please welcome Jeanette.
Kia ora. Kia ora korua. Kia ora. I'll talk to you later. also, I'm not here to talk about books of mana. I'm here to talk about the Honea Tuwhare Trust, or Honea Tuwhare, actually. So sorry, start from the beginning. My name is Jeanette Wikaira, obviously, and I'm here this evening to share a little bit about Honea Tuwhare. And I'm also here with Rob Tuwhare, Honea's son. And I'm going to talk about, I'm not a poet, and I know my lane, and so I'm going to talk about the slow-burning legacy of Honea Tuwhare. Honea Tuwhare's poetry invoked nuclear apocalypse and taniwha. Listened to the sea, rivers and rain, tasted kina, mussels and women, and tuned in to the cling of working men's lives and whakapapa etched in the land. His legacy continues to rumble through the life of poetry in Aotearoa, slow, deep, and unstoppable. Tuwhare's legacy embodies. His poetry did something subtle and seismic. It redefined what counted as New Zealand's literature. He brought Te Ao Māori, its humour, its cadences, its spirituality into the mainstream without translation or apology. He simply embodied it. To you I will sing of the water, he wrote. And in that simple act of address, he reminded us that the land and its people are not subjects of poetry, they are poetry. Tuwhare's legacy creates space. His influence can be seen in all the poets in the room, and everyone who creates poetry in New Zealand is touched by Honea Tuwhare. Each of you carry some ember of Tuwhare's insistence that language be lived in, not merely used. His easy toggling between English and Te Reo Māori, between the lyrical and the colloquial, cracked open space for writers to bring their whole selves to the page. Tuwhare's legacy is relational. He performed in pubs and marae. He laughed loud, he signed books with a wink. He was our poet of the people, not because he wrote for them, but with them. His work echoing the oral traditions that predated and will outlast the printed word. Even his politics, anti-nuclear, anti-imperial, pro-human, came from that same whakapapa of care, where resistance and aroha are intertwined, where the heart can protest and the protest can sing and poems can hum with paradoxal joy, fierce, funny, deeply rooted in relationship. Which brings me to this small Tuwhare legacy project, this beautiful book that celebrates so many relationships. They've come together to create this first Tuwhare poetry series book. The Tuwhare Trust, the festival, local press, manuscripts, and of course, the poets. Ati Tepa, Chris Tees, Cilla McQueen, David Eagleton, Jessica Hinerangi Thompson Carr, Liz Breslin, Louise Wallace, Michaela Kibble, Ruby Solly, Rushi Weiss, Sophia Wilson, Tracy Tafiel, and Honea Tuwhare. Thank you all. The Tuwhare Residency Program, the Tuwhare Poetry Series, which many of the poets here are part of, and this little book are small ways that we continue to keep Honea's legacy warm by warming new generations of poets. The forge is still hot, the hammer still rings, and in the echo you can still hear Honea smiling. I'm just going to finish by reading something of the introduction in this book. Honea Tuwhare's poetry is like a kōrero on the marae, part challenge, part embrace, always alive with the promise of a good feed afterwards. It's poetry that fills you up. The 2023 Honetu Whare Poetry Series that this book celebrates was poetry that filled you up. Hone would have loved it. Ngā kōrero hōhunu o te awa, this book. Deep River Talk seemed an apt Hone-inspired name for this first-time poetry series delivered at the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival in October 2023. Otako Marae opened the festival, as we did today, with a tipuna, te ao otako, watching on, and Deep River Talk came alive. At the marae, ancient poetry flowed, ko auo and karanga, whai kōrero and waiata. Writers spoke, readers listened, hone smiled. The world was shifting and the poets felt it. Israel had just invaded Gaza, Australia had voted no to Indigenous voice, and wasps took over a beehive in Pōneke. The poets tapped a vein. The poets tapped a vein and the poetry series took on this moment of resistance. Hone beamed with pride. The poet laureates came, Cilla McQueen, Hone's favourite, David Eagleton and Chris Teese gave us their best tokotoko raised poetry. The inaugural Tū Whare Fellows came, Tracy Tafio and Ngāti Tepa brought poetry koha from their residencies at Hone's crib at Kaka Point. The punters came. We made national headlines by rubbing up against election night rules with a rowdy night of political poetry at Woof. Hone shouted shots of whiskey. The local poets came. Liz Breslin led the poetry whānau in a Pass the Parcel poetry celebration for Chris Teese's birthday, and they gave us the word medicine we all needed. Hone got the guitar out. Hone's whānau came, Manaia Tū Whare Huani, showed us the power of poetry performed, poetry that courses through her whakapapa. Hone cried tears of joy and said, on life's eternal river we float on and on forever, like a stream of light enhancing our understanding of human love and life. Kia ora. You can buy the book.
Kia ora, I'm Rob Tū Whare. Thank you, Edward, for inviting and having us here at the marae. And I haven't been here before, and I feel honoured to be here with everyone and kicking off the weekend and being here with these esteemed guests. Jeanette asked me to do a little intro for this book, and I'm going to read it out because it's easy. Jeanette asked me to write about how I feel about this wee book her and Kitty Brown have put together. I think she got her Scottish wrong. It's helped me read again, wanting more. Cry, laugh, wonder, envy, write, learn, smile, think, celebrate, honour and appreciate words. And the book is wild. I love being at the festival to hear this work presented. O Te Poti, Readers and Writers Rock. And it has become a regular spot for others to read poetry alongside the kaupapa of our dad. Awesome cover, Tracy Tafio. Aroha nui for the magic. As we drove here today, I just love coming up this road, and Jeanette did a real horny thing on the way here. She was like, stop! That's that South African poet on the side of the road. It sounded like Dad yelling in my ear, and I was like, stop the car, reverse back. We pick up a South African poet on the side of the road. He's put in the car behind us with three heavily tattooed men. I tried to see the look on his face. Apparently he was overjoyed. I'm filled up with beautiful kai from here and aroha. And, what a way to kick off this Writers' Festival. Kia ora to everyone. Thank you.
He mahi aroha ki a koe, Rob. It's really beautiful to have your presence here on the stage with Jeanette and the launch of this beautiful book. And just listening to your kōrero, and I think there's the two of you on the stage, but you've brought so many of those poets with you, and their voices are all here in this room this evening. So kia ora ki a kōrua. We're going to move on to our next speaker, ko Talia Marshall, no Ngāti Kuia, Ngāti Takihiku, Rangitāne o Wairau, Ngāti Rārua, is a writer based here in Otipoti, and her first book is called Fire Blue. Welcome, Talia.
Tēnā koutou, katoa. I was last out here in 2015 for a marae noho, and the kai was very good then too. and I wasn't actually aware there was a theme, but ahika, true. Okay, so I did decide that I was going to read a poem about my one of my besties, because I'm sort of a failure at love, and so I write a lot of love poems about my friends instead, because they're better relationships, really. And is that funny? Anyone? And she actually descends from H.K. Tairoa, who I believe is in the Urapa. I had checked with Megan because I thought that would be terrible if that wasn't true. curses. This has been translated into reo, which I won't be reading. But there's a bunch of poems that have been in Best New Zealand poems that have all been recently translated into reo. I think there's only about 50 copies, but it's suggested that counts. I think Jess, are you on there too? Aye, good. Right. It's called Laughter Makes the River Rise Better Than Her Rain. Kelly eats the pastry, not the mince, and accidentally Kelly Street is her song, and we take acid and walk to the beach, but on different sides of the street, because it's so funny what she's thinking. It's so, so funny. Later we fall asleep in Nana's conservatory and wake baking in glitter. I take my cousins to the gardens to feed the ducks, and the brightness stays. Kelly says, you never spit, you're a lady. Kelly says, let's get away from her, she's boring. Kelly says, we're hitching. It was so fun hitching, she laughs. I was terrified though, and then there's more laughing, followed by cackling, and I insist, no, you were there, until she remembers being the trouble horse. Kelly puts on Get Free by Major Lazer. Kelly is child free tonight, and we split tall cans of bourbon. I show her the little fuddy I'm making for my dead grandfather. I explain my dolphin religion to her. She is dancing to Get Free by her fourth can, because reincarnation is boring. I watch the music video over and over after she leaves, especially the man stroking his bantam, the girls twisting into the road like screws, and especially the boys making the blue knocking motion of bells in their dance. I tell Kelly the Zumba videos she puts on Facebook make me happy to be alive, but she doesn't believe me. You can trace the world by the pattern of the snake skin, can't you? Diamonds are just straight lines, afraid of their kinks. All the time I pulled Kelly's hair and punched her when I shouldn't have, and much wiser blood, hers, keeping its heat and saying it's okay, beside me in the gutter, and it is now, 22 years later, because I'm laughing and asking her if anyone knows she's Māori in Gisborne, if they can tell. I mean, maybe they can tell just by the way we dance. Sorry. A couple of years ago, I got arrested for biting a cop, and and I got this free miri miri out of it, which when the restorative justice process, which I thought was going to be for me, but apparently it was for the cop, and I was like, oh, all right. During the miri miri, you know, they start off down the bottom, and that's a bit, if you've got sensitive feet, it'd be like, woohoo. And then, but we got to my heart, and I experienced my heart as like this white ring of goodness. And I was like, oh my God, I'm made of love. And I was like, I thought I was a really bad person, but I think I might be okay. So I thought, hold on. I was like, hold on to it, Talia, hold on to it. And it comes and it goes. And then when things get hard, when you get frightened, when you feel worried for people, when you feel just that kind of just anxiety, terror, anything, it's in your body. You know, we feel things in our body, and I think the thoughts are in our head, right? Yeah, thoughts up here, feelings down here. So when I get these, you know, terrible feelings, I go, hang on, underneath all that is love. So this is a poem that tries to come to terms with that. It's called Cowgirl because I can be a cowgirl, I don't need a cowboy. Why would I name the worst thing when I can watch a dog nurse a paralysed raccoon and in doing so regain its sense of purpose in this arcade where I can't leave the joystick alone, where interspecies love can lie down in front of the truth and their secrets can lick each other back into the place where it never happened. All this time, the volcano was after a quiet death, but the lava festers like a ruby ring on the hand of a woman at brunch giving away too much of herself. The key is to lie very, very still so the pain can be seen from space, and by this I mean not at all. I will do it. I will name the thing. I will not take shelter from the tornado, except here it is. Keep drilling, keep going, keep digging, but remember to breathe. Underneath all this, my heart is an Arctic circle. I'm going big and contrary here because of the small ripples after the fact, after you name the thing and take the pain and shoulder the terror and keep digging, for underneath all this is what feeds it. And this white ring after the hit is the heat of love, spreading through the lake of my body like a breath and a blister. Sister, I say hope is a rare thing and faith is even harder. Keep digging, but also just lie there, my sweet lasso. Sorry.
Talia, tēnei kamihi ki a koe. How funny is she? That was hilarious, that was awesome, that was deep, that was beautiful. E mihi ana ki a koe I rā kupu. Our next speaker, the finale of this first half, I should say, needs no introduction. He's an artist, an actor, a poet, an entrepreneur, a beekeeper, a gardener, a father, and a grandfather with a bone-deep commitment to his practice. Throughout his life, he's used creativity as a vessel for change. He has moved quite easily between disciplines and genres with a vision that has resonated across decades. Tēnei nā, tēnei tangata, he tamatoa. Tēnei tangata, he pūru. Nō reira, whakanuia a tame iti.
Koe e tāne, nā mihi ki a koe for the sacrifice of your children, mo te ahi, te auahi, te mahana, tēnā koe tāne. You know, interesting time, you know, trying to put this book together. E harakau e tahi mea māma, you know, trying to find a way to me pehea te tuku kōreo. It's a really interesting journey just doing that. I mean, I had some attempt 30 odd years ago, had a go at it, had a chat with some of the writers at home. And, yeah, 70 years later, and I was fortunate enough there to have a chat with Toi, my kids, chat with Archie and many others around to try and put those bits and pieces together. And hoki ngā mahara is a memory. Things that we always trying to look back and trying to, hea hoki tērā. And I guess for me, 70 odd years ago, and the old lady tried to make her way down to the hospital in Rotorua. And, you know, never quite made it. There I was, ka puta mai hau runa on the wagon, on the train. Ko hau tērā. Te sa tīmata tana o te hikoe tana, o tēnei hikoe tēnei rā. You know, and just going, it's the whole different layers, the layers of, you know, not just a tamaichi journey, but it's a journey for what's happening in our village, in Ruatoki, what we had to go through prior to my time, the invasion, land confiscation, the treatment of tamariki at the school. Everything was geared up how to be a Pākehā, pēhā tērā. Because when you're going through that and you're wondering, and I'm thinking, hey, what the hell that? You know, and being whāngai. But I'm fortunate, and ko toko waimaria I tipu akau ki Ruatoki, I raro I nā reke reke, o te pēkū rāua ko hukarere. And having older tuakana, the tuakana, mā taina, and hanging out with those fellas. And leaving home and finding my way. Hello, I end up here in Christchurch in Naitau. And that's another journey too coming through to Naitau. Because karau e mōhio, e iwi I konei a Naitau. You know, from the kōrero that I heard prior to my being here. And I didn't hear anything about Naitau, none at all. And until I end up in the same dormitory with a guy from Naitau. No hea koe, ah, no konei, no Naitau. Oh. And so I had the honour and the opportunity to be able to meet up with those Naitau at Tamutu, spend a bit of time at Tamutu with the Karaua, and Pete Karaua, interesting man. And then it's also an introduction for me meeting up with the old radicals of the First World War, the Second World War, and meeting up with a new language and learning all those the different layers. First time I ever heard of a word called communist, socialist, and hearing that. Really interesting period of time. And meeting with people having a bit of a tangi-tangi about their reo. He kore rātau e ka atahi anau ka rono I te tanata e aue ana e aia e kore e mōhio I tana reo. And, because when you meet people like that, and because part of their journey, you know, 16 years later, 70 years later, ko hoki mahara hau, going back to Ruatoki, and going through that time when you have to when the principal at the school made a statement that I will not allow you to speak Māori on my school ground. Yeah, e hoki ngā mahara tērā. So you ponder through all of that. And then he tanata waha nua. I didn't have a voice. And it took me about 18, 19 years. Then I finally ko waha pakarua hau. There I was. But that was a journey on its own. You know, learning just to let go, that the bits and pieces and going through. But lucky there was a whole lot of those old radicals, the Pākehā radicals, the Chinese radicals, the Pacific radicals. Everybody was about 70 was a really interesting period of time for me. Probably one of the most important was probably the early part of my growth. Man, I was just wide awake. I just couldn't go to sleep. Ka noho matarau I nga wā katoa. You know, and it's really, ka puta mai te riri I taku puku. I think we got really angry about it. But luckily, I had people like Te Nia, Kurarawiri, and all the other old radicals back here there from Christchurch. And just really just the beginning. And making my journey up to Tāmaki Makaurau and go right through all of that. And then spend that period of time there, probably for those short period of time there in the city, and going home was another challenge. Yeah, and going home was a challenge. You know, we got this romantic thing about, oh, tūhoetana, let's go there. They got the rule, they got everything. Our home was very much colonized. Yeah. And so we had our fight internally among ourselves. Really interesting period of time for me. It wasn't really an easy place to be going home. Ka puta mai wāri, arata riri, so really interesting period. But I learned a lot from that. From going through living in your community taught me many things. And then having children and going through that, going through with my own personal behaviour, that's another journey on itself. And putting this book together is a really challenging thing for me, just like having my first exhibition, you know, because you're exposing yourself, you're putting yourself out there. And the book for me is very much that. And I feel quite comfortable about doing that now. 70 years later, kei te painua. And mānoa hau ki te tuku I te kōrero. And hey, I'm looking forward here for the next tomorrow to share the extent of the book and share with you. And it's a real honour for me to be here. I runa I tēnei marae, kia kōtou e te haukaina, tēnā kōtou. Tēnā kōtou e nā kōtou te rau karanga. For creating this ahure, for the magical people to be able here to share those moments and their whakaaro, their sounds, their waiata, their mamai, and many other things. Nō reira, koe nei noho ngā pita kōreo o tēnei pō, he wā noa pōpō, nō reira huri noa, tātai raro te tioni o tāne whakapiripiri, tēnā kōtou, tēnā tātai katoa. Kia ora.
Kia ora. E te rakatira mō tō kōrero, your insights to hear of the journey and to hear that kōrero around Hokika Mahara. Beautiful. Kia ora. Because I'm a classic note taker, and I, I just, you know, and we've heard a lot of different kōrero on this first half of the evening, and so I think there's some themes, and I just want to bring them out, and what's coming through really strongly is the impacts of colonisation, the loss of reo, the impact to our whenua, the resistance and aroha that is intertwined, the legacy, and we honour whakapapa, the white ring of aroha that keeps us going for te hokika mahara, the journey to be who we are and decolonising our homes. This is ahika. This is what ignites the fire in us and keeps us all going. Kia ora.
Ahoi nō rā. We're going to kick back into it. Apologies, I needed more than 5 minutes just so I can get the bios right this time. And first up, for our second part, we have Tina Makareti. Te ati awa, Ngāti Tū Whanetoa, Ngāti Rangatahi Matakore. When I showed her bio, she said, just say I write books. But I just want to mention a couple of things here. Her latest work is the internationally published novel, The Myers, which was shortlisted for the NZ Ockham Book Awards. And she also, at the moment, she's teaching a Master of Arts Creative Writing in Pōneke at Te Heringa Waka. Anō reira, homai te peki paki paki, Tina Makareti.
Tēnā tātou katoa, ngā mihi mai oha mō te manaakitanga a tāhua I tēnei pō. I'm going to read a little excerpt of an essay from my pukapuka, This Compulsion in Us, which is a collection of non-fiction. It's from an essay called How to Be a Māori Woman. I went home to my mother's house for the first time when I was 16, and I stayed. I can look back now and see that Dad believed he had done what was best for us by taking us away, and the older I get, the less sure I am about the absolute clarity of his wrongness. But back then, all I knew was that this whole big thing had been taken from me, not just a relationship with my mother, but a whānau. The immensity of my ignorance about my own family was shocking. I simply did not know they existed. Such a huge, warm, substantial group of people had been made to disappear, and my sister, by going in search of them, had made them appear again, as if by magic. All of my wonder at this was concentrated primarily around one person, my Nan. I hadn't known I had a grandmother, and such a grandmother. It's impossible to know what you're missing until you find it. And then there's lots of pages that I'm going to skip through, but but I'll go back to the, because I talk about all these Māori women that kind of started with my Nan and went out, and I was figuring out who I was. And back to Nan again. Nan had gone to Teachers College with her sister as a young woman. That must have been in the 1940s. Then there's a space in my knowledge, but she soon met my koro and had lots of children and a fish and chip shop that everyone in Fielding over a certain age remembers. There was the marae and community work, always more and more as time went on, and many, many mokopuna. And we were taken away, and koro died. So many losses all her life, I can't imagine it. She had been whangaed at 3 years old after her own mother and kuia died. So many losses, I can't write of them here in any detail. She worked so hard, put her shoulder against all those things and kept going, made sure everyone was looked after, even though that was sometimes taken out of her hands. I wonder what it was like for her to see us come back, to see one of her daughter's wounds heal over at last. A scar doesn't hurt as much as an open wound. She led me to all these other Māori women, and she taught me her own quiet lessons about how to be her granddaughter. At our first Christmas together, I watched her assemble a Christmas cake without a recipe. In my memory, she did this completely by hand, scooping handfuls of flour and sugar and dried fruit. Maybe she spooned in the baking powder. Maybe she actually used a cup for the scooping, but my impression was that of a familiar dance. No written instructions, no strict measurements. I remember the continual flow of food between her kitchen and table. As soon as we'd eaten one meal, another began to materialise. These lessons were presented without commentary. This was just what you did. As far as I could tell, women were in charge of the domestic sphere and the pā. Need heavy lifting or other errands? Ask an uncle, brother, cousin or son. I'd never seen women in such possession of their power. Women were the overseers of what needed to be done, when and how, and Nan was at the top of that hierarchy. I'd always done everything myself and found it hard to ask for help when I needed it, to command assistance as she did. Other lessons also failed to take. One summer when we were staying at our marae at Lake Taupō, Nan went to the Harakeke bush to cut long sheaths of flax for weaving. She set up in a far corner of the Wharekai, a wonderful old building with a vast fireplace that always had a fire going for kai and hot water. If you leaned in beside the heavy cast iron pots, you could see the sky through the wide opening that let the smoke out. That fireplace made it into my first novel. Anyway, Nan was on the other side, far away from the cooking area, and there, in what seemed like less than a morning, she constructed a neat kete, folding the leaves in expertly, trimming and fastening, again without pattern or paper or pause. I would not have enough time with Nan to learn the magic habits of her hands. Years later, at the first weaving hui I attended, I attempted to weave a whariki. You guys might know where this is going. A kete or a flax flower might have been more successful, but this was a whariki wānanga, so I tried to follow along. On seeing my efforts, one of the expert weavers exclaimed, "But your grandmother was such an amazing weaver." And walked on, puzzlement still evident on her face. Nan took me to important meetings from time to time, and I felt the expectations that might accompany the education I was getting. I felt shame at all the things I could not fix. She was lighting a long-burning flame that could rise against all the many things that she had seen, the ones that stayed the same and the ones that changed for the worse. Eventually, Nan got to see me graduate, and even though I still felt like I was only at the very beginning of things, I hope it gave her some joy. I have three Christian names. My sister says she named me Tina after her doll, but my father always claimed my name came from those Kitsch J.H. Lynch 1970s Tina paintings. Anybody remember those? Tina with not much clothing on. My second name comes from a dear aunt, my father's sister Robin, and my third name was my nan's, Makariti. When I began to write, I thought about the name I should publish under, and I thought about all those Māori women, the ones whose words I loved to read, and the ones who had gone before me, multiple lines stretching back to the beginning of time, rivers of them, oceans perhaps, of which I was one small tributary. I thought about my nan and how I carried her name already, even though it was a transliteration of an English name. Even in that, there is a story. Her name reminds me of who I am. Her name reminds me when to be careful and when to take risks. Her name keeps me safe. Her name is dignity and generosity and kaha. It is something to live up to. Kia ora.
Kano I te mihi, e hoa, e tēnā. Your words, I think, bringing forth those relationships, those intimate relationships that we have with key people in our whānau and how they shape ourselves and our identity as we go forth into our own spaces. So, kia ora. Okay, so next in the lineup for this amazing evening full of amazing, incredible speakers, we have Victor Roger, ONZM, who is a multiple award-winning writer and producer of Samoan and Scottish descent. His provocative plays often deal with issues of race, sexuality and identity and include the internationally acclaimed Black Faggot. He has produced several plays which embody his agenda to promote Pacifica works. These include the internationally acclaimed productions of Tusiata Avia's Wild Dogs Under My Skirt and The Savage Colonizer Show. Welcome, Victor.
Talo falava, malolo sui fua manuia. First of all, I just want to say, you know, I've been overseas for the last 2 months and arrived home last night just before midnight and then got the first plane down here. Yeah, thanks. Doesn't show. What a nose is growing. Yeah, and I just want to say how beautiful to be here tonight and have the food and entertainment and company and storytelling, you know. So, yeah, beautiful, beautiful return home. Just quietly, I've been in London, Paris, Sardinia, Milan, Edinburgh, who cares, really? Also been in Dundee, which is where my grandmother was from, and it's now a suburb, but it used to be its own town called Brotifere. My grandmother's name was Nora Ogilvie-Kearney until she married Granddad and became Nora Ogilvie-Roger. And this story, so long as my phone doesn't go below no bars, is called Foo the Noo. Christchurch, 1981. You're sitting on one of the benches at intermediate which lie around the perimeter of the quad. You watch as most of the other kids begin to retrieve food from their lunchboxes. But you've got nothing to retrieve. You don't even have a lunchbox because you don't need one. Because instead what you have is your grandmother. You can see her on the far side of the quad, sturdy, grey-haired, bespectacled, as she slowly begins to walk past the other students. She's clearly on a mission, and her mission is to get to you. In her hands, she holds a rectangular cardboard box with distinct red and white stripes and the outline of a bearded man's face. When she... Do you know where this is going? When she finally reaches you, you take the box and thank her. She smiles, then turns and walks back the way she came. The box is warm in your hands. You open it. Inside lies two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, a thigh and a drumstick. Your preferred combination. Plus some fries, a small container of potato and gravy, and a doughy bread roll. All your friends with their sad floppy cheese sandwiches and their browning apple slices say things like, "Man, you're spoilt." It takes years until you realize that they are right. That you were lucky to have a grandmother who loved you so much she would bring Kentucky Fried Chicken to you at school. Not just once, many times. The whole of your time at school, you never see anyone else's grandmother do that. Never. All her life, your grandmother uses food to express her love for you. Boiled eggs mashed up in a cup with a thick slice of butter. Mince in the doughiest of doughboys. Countless cream buns. Innumerable lamingtons. Always the invitation to have more. And always the same question whenever you stop eating. Are you foo the noo? It's Scottish slang for, are you full? For now. It's almost as if she's scared to ever let you go hungry. Maybe she is. Maybe it's because she experienced the Great Depression in the 1930s, a time of great unemployment and, for many people, great hunger. But you never really think about this. Not until you sit down to write this story. Your grandmother has been dead for over 10 years now. You know that you told her that you loved her on many occasions, but you don't know if you ever adequately explained exactly how much. You hope that she knew that she didn't just make you foo the noo with her food. She also made you foo the noo with her love. Always and forever, your bonnie wee bairn, Nanny. Love, Victor. I love her.
Victor, tēnā koe, mihi ana ki a koe. Thank you for mucking up your sleep schedule to be here with us tonight. And thank you for making us all hungry again. Mihi kia koe. We're now turning to Nadine Hura. Ngāti Hine Ngāpuhi is a writer whose work connects literature, social policy, and environmental justice. She's written extensively for the spin-off, E Tangata, and other platforms. She's a mother, she's a poet, she's an avid author, she's a writer. Nō reira, haramai, Nadine Hura. Hō mai te pakipaki.
Huri noi te whare, tēnā koutou katoa. Always love going after you, bro. Thank you for that. But here's to our nans. Kia ora mo tēnā. Ko taku mihi tuatahi ki te whare tū nei, ko tamatea, tēnā koe. Ki te haukainga, koutou e pūpuri ana ki ngā ahika, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia koutou, ngā kānuhi ora, e mene mene mai ana, tēnā koutou. Ki ngā kaituhi, koutou i ngā kōrero, kua pupū ake, i roto i o koutou whatū manawa, tēnā koutou. Ki te whare o hone tūwhare, anō hoki, tēnā koutou. Mō te tautoko i ahau, tēnā koutou. I just started off with a mihi ki te haukainga. Yes, I did write a book about climate change, and I got to the end of it, and I really understood that the solutions if there is such a thing, but that the future is behind us, that the future is with ahika. And I had to write 70,000 words to get that. It was a very humbling journey. And as I reflected on the theme for tonight, and these ingwa on the walls of our fallen men, I mihi to them too. I noticed their names and I saw the number from single whānau, and that was the so-called sacrifice given in the name of colony, mō te aha. And we see that project still going on in Palestine, and I just, there's something about this of ahika, which seems, I think, sometimes romantic, and I'm very aware of that as someone who grew up mostly in the city with my mum. Mum's here tonight, always mihi to mum. She's often sitting in the front row. She wanted to sit in the front row. I said, no, mum, that's for the writers tonight. maybe I had an idealised view of what ahika meant, but as I went around and I had the fortune really to speak with those doing that literal work, and what I found was that it's not a lot of, you know, talky hopeful stuff. There's a lot of work, there's a lot of blisters. It's you know, my Uncle Chucky, you know, who is the one at home who digs the graves, you know, and puts the kai on, and then people go home again, and now we're all turning to ahika and mihi, also to the Dunedin Writers Festival for bringing us here. This is my first time here. My daughter was welcomed here earlier this year as a student, and so I thank you again for the manaakitanga. Ooh, tūhui, coming in the house. thank you. I knew that she would be taken care of, and I'm looking at Paulette and your whānau here and thinking that what I was going to read was from the prologue. It's the shortest thing I've probably ever written, and it was a straight journal entry, and it was written on the morning of Matariki when it was 2024, and I was listening. I was in my underneath my duvet, and I was listening to the radio, and it was being broadcast from Wanaka, the Matariki Herikai ceremony, Hotapu, and it was probably one of the moments where I realised that ahika also begins with me, in me, and so from that moment on, we have had, we've had braziers, you know, in the city. In the suburbs, and bring my kids home. And so I really, I just, that ceremony was amazing. I feel like I'm in the presence of like celebrities. Well, no, it was awesome though. It was beautiful. I listened to it and then I watched it on TV. So tēnā koutou, thank you for making that real for those of us who can't make it to those kaupapa. So I was going to read the prologue, but then I got the real tohu, which is that this is, you know, about kai. That what is ahika, you know, really, literally, you know, there's the book that I wrote all those stories, but really, it's katakata, pukukata, and kai. And the kai tonight has been stunning. If my partner were here tonight, boy, gosh, he'd probably still be over there. So, so tonight I'm going to read to you, you know, poems with you. I think I loved that about the introduction about Hone Tūwhare. Subtle and seismic. This is not subtle. It's not, and I don't know if it's seismic. But I also just want to acknowledge that I'm not the only person to have written a poem about KC Cafe, and no doubt I won't be the last. Ati was the first. Well, I don't know if he was the first, but it's whakapapa, so it's all of us. And the only other thing I need to say, because I've written at the top, is that the title is at the end. Okay. Oh, this is what I was going to say in context. This is like raw from my typewriter. It has not been edited, so this is my sacrifice for your katakata. And if you didn't think that you could be a poet, let this be an affirmation that you can. You can too, and I made it into a zine because that's what it's all about. Okay. I wish my lover looked at me the way he looks at porridge. Slow cooked and stirred through with honey. And I wish he wanted me like he always wants papdi chat. Or the chef's special signature, thali. The glow of desire behind his eyes as he gazes up at Casey's menu drives me wild, makes me want to cook salted fish. I'm just going to read it and then sit down. Salted fish and chicken with tofu in a clay pot. Your lips have gone to second person. I am out of order. Your lips making that smacking sound the next day. Oh, my love, what I wouldn't give to be the wok of your desire. Or an illicit plate of duck. Served a second time by the waiter by mistake and not a word said. For your appetite, you would lie. Take risks for plates of pork and even greater for paua. Sometimes I just ask you to talk about food to see the light in your eyes take flame. And spread all the way down to your puku. If only it was me you were thinking of, my thighs, not a chicken's. The title, I've got to give... Thank you so much. I've got to give you the title. By Nadine Hooda. Maybe he's only with me because I'm named after a potato.
I'm trying to come up with a really clever reflection, but I just don't think I've got one. Kia ora, Nadine. I've have got images in my mind around food that I'm not sure that I want to have, but kia ora. Okay, moving on. Ati, no tūhoe no kaitahu, is an artist and poet based in Ruatoki. He has extensive experience working in the creative arts sector as a creative producer, public programming producer at Te Papa Tongarewa, and as a senior kaupapa Māori advisor at Toi Rau Whārangi College of Creative Arts, Massey University. As a writer, Ati draws inspiration from his whānau, whenua, and the stories of Te Uruwera, his home. Welcome, Ati.
Ahoi anō tēnā tātou katoa. Tātou e mene nei ki raro i te tūnui o tō tātou whare tipuna nei a tamatea. E mihi ana ki a koutou. Straight into it, I reckon. Try and outdo your grandmother. Probably won't. I can smell you, hākui al. Your scent is wafting as we sit inside tamatea's puku. Your titi is giving me a hongi. But Matua Edward is still speaking welcome words and I can just hear him over the sigh of the tuaki opening in their spar of hot water. Hākui al, the bones are barely holding on to the meat, ekui, and the greens are just a garnish. Your kūmara is softer than my puku, which is stretching with every bite. Hākui al, ancestress, great, 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 the greatest grandmother. We all need grannies like her. Hey, bro. Spoilt. He waka kōtui are so loud, I can hardly hear my lips smacking in your whare of ora, ekui. But I can hear their kupu about them clowns in their beehive and their whare patu ora. Poro poro miri miri poro kai hamuti. Unlike us in this whare o te ora hākui au, ko mākona mātou iākui. We are full. E hika mā, mihi ana ki ngā ringa wera, ngā kai hora ki runga i ngā tēpū. I just wrote that one just then. I wrote this one the other day. We lost one of our koi at home and we buried her on Tuesday. And the morning of the nehu, I don't know if that happens over here, but sometimes the ope comes and they'd have a speaker, so they just walk straight into the whare mate, and then the kai kōrero, they're speaking to empty chairs. So I wrote this one. It's called There's a Space Here for All of Us. Tō tika te kiri mate ki te whare mate, ka tuku mihi te kai kōrero ki te pai tāhana. Kāre he kai kōrero mo te kiri mate, e whakakī nei tō rātau pai. He whai kōrero mo te mōwai o te whenua, mo te hau e kā napa nei te haki. Kāre he reo whakautu, hoi anō, kei nā manu te waiata mo te nei upai wahangu. He uru tonu te katoa ki te whare nui, ka wātea tonu he wāhi ki te whakairi whakaahua ki runga i ōna pātū. Iri tonu ana nā whare tukutuku ki te tihi tonu o te whare, i ngā tihi teitei e kore tā e te ringa. Ka whāngāia tonu te kai ki ngā tūru e wāte ana mō āke tonu. Ka ō te katoa, ahakoa hina tētahi, ka rahi, kai te rahi tonu mātau. Ahakoa kia kua wātea mai koe e koe, anei tonu mātau. And in English, shit, did I bloody have it in English? Oh yeah, I think I bloody deleted the English. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Aroha mai. The mourners walk straight to the whare mate. The kai kōrero spoke to empty chairs. The mourners had nobody to fill their pai, but they were welcomed. Whai kōrero for the morning dew on the grass, for the gentle wind that's making the flag flutter. No one will reply to the welcome words, but the sparrows will sing for the silent pai pai. There'll always be space in the whare nui. There's always room for one more photo to hang. There will always be empty spiders' webs hanging from the highest point of the whare, just out of reach. There'll always be full plates of kai served to empty chairs. Always. There's always enough. Even when we are one less, we still got plenty. Now we have one more empty chair to fill, ekui. That's for my nan. And one more. This one's called A Cold Fire Still a Fire. So back at home, some people are kind of using the, ahikā as a kind of exclusionary tactic to kind of I don't know, to keep some of our people excluded from the kōrero and making decisions on our marae. They say it only should be only the people that, you know, serve the kai, make the beds, keep the fires burning. Maybe this decision should just sit with them. But there's 38,000 tūhoes and only probably less than 8,000 of us live at home. So I think sometimes we can use these kupu like ahika as weapons to kind of exclude our own from, you know, from being who we are. Yes. Is a cold fire still a fire? I'm pretty sure the kōrero I heard growing up was that ahika kept the beacons alight for those of us further from the warm hearth of home, or something like that. I could be wrong. It might be just some nostalgic ideal of kinship that I imagine was the truth. But I could be totally right and didn't imagine someone acknowledging that someone else has kept the fire burning for us who return home in the dark, thankful that someone has left the light on. Like Tūhoe Pōtiki, like Tamatea, who left and never came home. They just lit this ahi that we carry around and we tend to. Someone our marae heaping fuel upon the cooking fire, sending sparks and spokes skyward. And some of us just clutch a tiny ember close to our chests, shielded from wind, rain, and the distance of home. And we gently blow upon them like oriori of our past. It's the same ahi, just smouldering, but it's never extinguished, because ahi is a chemical reaction that produces heat and light. Pākehās call it combustion. And ahi mātou isn't technically a ahi at all. It's just ash and coals. Kia ora tātou. Ehika mā.
E te tāha e o tahu, tēnei ka mihi ki a koe. I nei kupu kakama au, i horaina mai, hei kai mā tēnei hunga e noho nei tēnei ka mihi ki a koe. I've always admired when Ati writes and when Ati shows us and tells us his poems. He'll do this lovely, lovely poem and then say, oh yeah, I just wrote that. Yeah. It's such a skill. It's such a skill. No reira, tēnei ka mihi, tēnei ka whakamānawa ki a koe, e te whanaunga, tēnei ka mihi ki a koe. And to end our night tonight, we have the amazing Waiariki. Waiariki has been a role model for me during my life. He's always shown us how to be cheeky. He's always shown us how to lead the way as rangatahi. He is a papa to three adventurous hotutu. Mum would say cheeky little shits. But the passion that Waiariki brings to our people here, not just for our own hapū and our own iwi, but for our communities here in Otupoti, is something I've always admired. Nō reira, nō mai, Waiariki. Paki paki mai!
Kia ora tātou, e mihi ana ki te whare etu nei, tamatea, etu. Mihi ana ki a koe kiringa ue nā kōrō, i horaina, hei kai mate taringa, i runga anō i te whakaiti. Tēnei mea ko te ahika, ko tāua, kia tāua. Yeah, just want to acknowledge those words, kiringa uai. Realising, you know, that age comes upon us all, and I feel that, you know, my cheeky, adventurous little shit tamariki are making my back pickle a little bit more and more as days go on. But I think, you know, this whole idea of ahika is exactly this mihi that was just shown and given. And I guess it's through these relationships and experiences. And kia noho ki tōna whenua. Ki ona kōrero, nō reira mihi ana ki a koe koutou rā e te whare. I just want to, just going to share two pieces. One of them, you know, ahika for me, you know, kei roro tonu i te korowai o tō tātenei kaupapa, ko tahi mano kaika, ko tahi mano awata, koe rā kaupapa katoa, kei roro tonu i ko te reo Māori tonu, engari ko te reo Māori me ona tikanga tonu. Nō reira, ko tēnei āhuatanga, ko te whakawhiti kōrero, whakatakoto pūrākou, kia tātou tamariki tonu. Nō reira, just want to share a story I contributed to a book that was released about a month ago, Whaia te Taniwha, and this story is one that I guess formulated to continue to engage and share with our tamariki, and it talks about one of our mauka, matamata. Ka pai. So this kōrero, this pūrākau is called He Taniwha Tōku Paua. Ka pai. So paua is our kaitahu word, our kaitahu kupu for grandfather. Ka pai, our koro, our paua. Ka pai. He taniwha tōku paua. My paua is a taniwha. Every time we go to the marae or a hui, people call him a taniwha. People say my paua talks like a kaka and has a long tail like a taniwha. They say he walks the talk. My paua has a soft voice that radiates the Māori of the land. My paua is a kaitiaki of our kaika. He protects our whenua with his hands and his words. Day in, day out, he is always looking after our whānau, our whenua, and our moana. Paua tells us the most amazing stories of who we are, in particular, our connection to our taniwha, Matamata. He once told us that Matamata was a gigantic creature that could tear through the land. Matamata was a kaitiaki of our kāti māmoe tīpuna, Te Raki Tauneke. Paua would always start by saying, "Gather around, tamariki mā. Let me tell you your story." Matamata was a big taniwha who wriggled his way through the land and created the Otago Harbour. He was in search of his rakatira, Te Raki Tauneke. Matamata was lost, and so he continued to carve out the Taiari River as he endured twisting and turning in his search of Te Raki Tauneke. However, time passed and he did not find his rakatira and quietly turned to stone. He became a prominent mountain with two humps known to us as Turi Makamaka and Puke Makamaka. Matamata remains overlooking Ōtākau and Te Tai O Arai Turu as our kaitiaki. Eh? How can that be true, Paua? How can something turn into a mountain? That's my brother Takaraka. My parents say he is also like a taniwha, but a different sort, you know, always up to something. Paua likens us to Matamata. We should persevere and carve out a future for the betterment of the generations to come. He always reminds us that there is a taniwha at every bend, and at every bend to be respectful towards people and our environment. Paua, tell us the story about Kōpuai and his three-headed dog, Takaraka says. Now that, moko, is another story for another day. Ka pai. Kia ora tātou. And you can also purchase these at Wickles. Kia ora. And this last one, I didn't actually know that there was an actual theme we had to write to. However, I did take the opportunity today to write something. So this kōrero poem is about ahika. I want to mihi to Amy and Rauhina for getting me over the line just while we're getting. I was a bit stressed saying, oh, yeah, wasn't finished. However, I got there. What I'm going to ask, just to wrap this up, is that I do want some crowd participation. So when I say whoosh, like when I go whoosh, you say fire. But I need you to do some hand signals. If you're not feeling up to it, you can just go fire. If you're feeling it, you just go fire. Ka pai. And if you're not feeling it, just say fire. Ka pai. So on the whoosh, let's just give it a go. Ready? Whoosh. Nice, kawai. Okay, this was just finished during kai. Here we go. Tamatia. The cockles of the heart are warm from the long burning fire here in good old cold Dunedin. Not as cold as the New Zealand government, though, but more kaitahu kei cold. It sure is maka chilly most times. And here you stand still with a long burning flicker of fire within. You ask, ko waikwe, no hiakwe, kai te haere koe kia. This is no ordinary fire. The flame burns every time our pepeha is at the tip of the tongue. Ko tākou te moana. Whoosh!
Fire!
The flame burns every time a step in whakapapa is recited. Whoosh!
Fire!
The flame burns when we realise that this is no lonely walk, but raka tirataka in action. Whoosh! Te mahi tamariki, the foundation, smouldering embers by the oily rag. Tamatea, you are even warmer than a danastana. Whoosh!
Fire!
That is what we are, ahika. Kia ora tātou.
What a note to finish on, Waiariki. That was beautiful. And to have us all participating in that poetry, I just feel like I want to go, whoosh!
Fire!
Yay! Some people got it. Kanuita mihi e hua e te whanauke. That was really beautiful. That brings us really to the close of the evening. And just to wrap up, I'm going to do the themes again. So the themes that have come through, we've got identity, shaping who we are. We've got kai and humour. We've got future behind us. Future is ahika. More kai and humour. A reminder about the embers that bring the rest of us home. I think a reflection for all of us in how we enact our ahika. And then our pūrākau is ahika, keeping our stories alive. And I'm going to finish off with, I think we're all feeling a little bit through the new. Come by. Kia ora mō tātou.
Hei whakakapu ake I tā tātou wānanga, tēnei kā mihi. Can we give another big round of applause to all of our speakers tonight? Ahoe no rā tēnei, whakaaro nei ki tēnei mea te ahika tātou. E ponitaka nei, e karapoti nei i tō tātou ahi. Tēnei, e whakaaro nei, kia rātou, nā rātou e nei ahi i whakawhitawhita. Nā rātou, tēnei ahi i whakakā mai, kia wera ai o tātou tinana, kia mahana ai tātou, kia noho ai tātou i roto i te pūāhurutanga o e nei ahi. Just thinking about all of the different and amazing, wonderful kōrero that we've had tonight, and thinking about those who kept the fires burning here at Ōtākau for a long, long time. Those who continued to feed our people, to keep our people alive. And I actually just want to take this time to hand the mauri over, hand the rākau over to our upoko, Poet Edward Ellison, to close us off for the night. Nō reira, tēnei kā mihi ki a koe te poa. Kia ora.
This Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival podcast was brought to you with support from Otago Access Radio, Dunedin City Council, Otago Community Trust, and Dunedin City of Literature. We would like to extend our heartfelt thanks to our other generous sponsors, supporters, participants, and audiences. You'll find further podcasts from the 2025 Festival at dunedinwritersfestival.co.nz and from Otago Access Radio's website, oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.